Up, reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's. Simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777. Or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, the 25th of June. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you,
Jill. Have you had a good business week, Mr. Andrews?
It's so far so good, but it is only Tuesday.
I know. Why do I say that?
It seems like Friday already, but it is only Tuesday.
I'm still recovering from the B2B exhibition, actually.
Are you? Yes. We've got some more recorded interviews from that to play later.
I wonder if you've seen Gerard and I in the Whitstable Times.
Your best mate, Gerard.
Yeah, Gretner. We're like that.
I know. I've seen you. I've seen your photograph everywhere.
Yes, with Gerard.
With Gerard.
Yes.
With your friend, Gerard.
I was actually reading in the Evening Standard last night that Hatton Garden, the jewellers area, are really suffering because of online jewellers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gerard got there first, didn't
he? Yeah, absolutely. Gerard online. Yep. Good stuff. Well, we've got a pack.
Gerard. I keep saying Gerard, don't I?
You do.
I know. It's why Gerald. Do I do that?
You've called him George, Jeffrey, Jeremy.
No,
but for someone who's your best mate, you really want to know his name.
Well, I think because I'm always sort of swooning when I see him, thinking about diamonds.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Yeah.
We have to play that Marilyn Monroe song.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, listen, anyway, we don't want to hear from Jules.
We don't want to hear
from you, the businesses of Kent.
We want your tweets.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can contact the show by giving us a call on 01303 874 908, or more likely, you can tweet me by following me at VanillaWeb and send me a tweet. We've already had a dozen tweets in so far, but do keep the tweets coming. We're happy to give you a shout-out on the radio, or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But we have 1,987 and a half emails
and a gazillion
messages, so that's probably not a good way to get on air today.
And they started yesterday.
They did indeed. So I'm going to kick off with something that I promised that I'd read out, because I'm absolutely made up about this. I think they have done a fantastic job, and it's a small charity that a good mate of mine is involved with, Felicity, and the charity is Mac UK, and Mac UK help people, especially young people and excluded people with mental health issues. And they're a tiny, tiny charity, but they are delighted to announce that Ben and Jerry's, that's the ice cream people, has selected Mac UK as their top social enterprise in the UK.
That's amazing.
An expert panel of business minds led by Ben and Jerry's co-founder, Jerry Greenfield, crowned Mac UK the winners of this year's Join Our Core competition to find Europe's finest young social entrepreneurs. After impressing at the competition's finale in London, where they pitched ideas to 10 of Europe's top ethical business minds, Mac UK has scooped a whopping €10,000. Of equal importance is that they will also receive expert business mentoring from Ashoka, the world's leading network of social entrepreneurs. They will also have their logo featured on an exclusive Ben and Jerry's tub in 2014.
I wonder what flavour.
Yeah. In addition, they have bagged a trip to Ben and Jerry's birthplace in Vermont in the USA.
I thought you were going to say Benidorm.
Yeah. where Mac UK Chief Executive Charlie Alcock will gain additional training and hear from US-based entrepreneurs and socially responsible business leaders. This award is not only a credit to Charlie for a magnificent pitch, but is a testimonial to the inspirational work, commitment and passion of the whole team and our young people, they say. And Dr. Charlie Alcock, who is the chief executive, said winning this competition means the world to us and is going to help us grow in the best possible way. You can find out more about Mac by going to their website, which is www.mac-uk.org. And I also want to mention something else about Mac, if you'd like to get involved. Mac have had a small competition amongst their client group, their young adults, to do some designs. And they are going to pick some winning designs and they want to put them on some hoodies.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Which they are going to sell to raise some funds. But what they need is some help. So if you run a clothing company and can help provide hoodies, or you run any kind of business and would like your logo attached to this and could help with some financial support, we'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to help Mac and Mac UK with their hoodie project and eat some of their ice cream, hopefully, you can get in contact with me by contacting bunker@kempersisradio.co.uk, and I will pass all the details on to you. So we'd love to hear from you, especially if you run a clothing or printing company. So please do get in touch if you'd like to do something with that. So a big well done to Dr. Charlie Alcock.
Fantastic prize.
Felicity Randolph and all the team over there at Mac UK for winning that award with Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Brilliant stuff. I think you can go with an email while I sort out the air conditioner.
I knew you'd say that because I'm tweeting and you always pick on me when I'm tweeting. Orinoco Barge Photography Course. It's Sunday the 28th of July.
It's one of my favourite songs.
Yes.
Orinoco Float.
Yes. Wasn't he a Womble as well?
Yeah, trust you.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Down market side of Orinoco.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Was it Enya? Orinoco Flow.
Enya did Orinoco Flow. The Orinoco's a river. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Womble.
The Orinoco Ferry, but then we've got Wombles.
Yeah, Womble's the only one I know.
Yeah.
Now, this is £120 per person, so that's pretty good for a photography course. 10 till 5, and they say, due to popular demand, we're back aboard the Orinoco. Join us as we sail from Harty Ferry up through the wind farms and around the Isle of Sheppey, where our next guest is from, before returning to Faversham Creek. A unique photography opportunity.
You'll be able to see them from your window, won't you?
I will,
Your telescope, Jules has got a telescope on Tankerton Slopes, which she looks at all the people drowning out in the bay,
That's why I never get any work done, Martin.
Yeah.
And never get my chicken cooked. A unique photography opportunity to capture the world from sea. Oh, it goes to Faversham Creek, so you could pop off, have a little noggin there at Faversham Creek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Couldn't you? There is a website. It's kentphotolibrary.org. /photo-courses/Orinoco and lots of other things after that. So Kent Photo Library, that sounds like a fabulous thing. It's Sunday the 28th of July on the Orinoco barge. I might go to that, Paul Andrews.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And I've thought of why I get George and Gerard and Gerald and all these names
all
mixed up. I know why, because I was listening to a memory coach on the radio, another radio, not a very big one, Radio 2 or something.
Oh, one of those BBC stations.
Yeah, and he was saying, this memory coach was saying that if you get the name wrong once, that's it.
He sticks with you.
Yeah, and that's what's been happening. Because Gerard Jimivivicus, how do you say it?
Jacquemovicius, yeah.
You say you can say it, but I'm not really sure you can.
He punches me every time I see him.
So we've got Gerard. Then when I was interviewing Gerald, I also had George Ward from the Cheesemakers of Canterbury with me as well. So I had a Gerard, a George and a Gerald, which frankly is enough for anyone to handle in one
Have you finished
minute.
Making excuses
I'm
now?
Just saying, memory coach, that's what you said. You get it wrong once and you'll get it wrong again. Andrew. Anyway.
Very good. Yeah.
As I was saying.
Do you know, I'm going to read some of our tweets
because
we've got loads of them coming in. We've had some tweets from Kelly Casey, from the National Engravers over there in Ashford, and from the huntingedge.co.uk, saying they're listening in. Hello, guys. We've also had a tweet. Do you remember Katie Wright that was on the infamous show number 123?
123, it's one of your favourites.
That's one of my favourite shows. Katie was on that, and she's just tweeted us, saying she's listening in today. Please can we mention that we're celebrating Kent Mumpreneurs in Eynsford on Saturday the 29th. That's this Saturday, and that's Mum's Business Festival. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Mum's Biz, B-I-Z, Fest, F-E-S-T. And it's the first ever Darrent Valley Mum's Mean Business Festival. It's this Saturday in Eynsford Village Hall from 2 to 5 p.m. Go there. I'm going to be checking. If you don't go there, there's going to be trouble.
There will be trouble.
Yeah. So go and support Kate with his fantastic venture. It's the Darrent Valley Mumpreneurs event this Saturday at Eynsford Village Hall.
Thing with you is, when you get inspired and excited by something, you start spitting into the microphone, which puts me off, frankly.
That's why I've got spit guards.
I know, but they're not really... They're still coming over here.
I'll ring it out afterwards.
Book online now, Paul Andrews, for the small growth, smooth growth for small businesses. It's www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And the next Business Community Breakfast will be on Thursday, the 11th of July, 7:30 a.m. at Gillingham Golf Club. And the speaker there will be Malcolm Trotter, who's trotting in to tell them about this smooth growth for small businesses. He is the chief executive of the International Association of Bookkeepers. And he'll be talking about growth without pain. So again, it's £12.50 if you pay in advance, or £15 on the day. www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And that's from Ken Wheeler.
They're good. I've been to some of Ken's business breakfasts.
Yeah?
They're really good, yeah.
Do you book in advance or do you pay on the day?
I've done both. I've booked in advance and paid on the day.
Okay, it sounds good to put. If you book in advance, it's only £12.50, so it's a huge saving.
It's a good breakfast too. Yeah, no, it's really good.
And do you know Ken Wheeler?
I do know Ken. He's a very, very lovely man, and he makes some very good events.
In the olden days, his family would have made wheels, wouldn't they?
Quite possibly.
Probably.
Yeah.
There's also the Lendy's Tweet Up coming up this Thursday. They have a special Wimbledon strawberry event. This is a free business networking event. You can go there, you can have strawberries, you can have PIMS. Put your tongue back in.
I was just going to read that.
It's at 10 a.m.
You can't have it. I've got an email here. You're making it up.
You can read it later. Yeah, I am making it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do the Kent Business Tweet Up.
I know you do. You're making it up. I was just about to read it and you started telling me, and I've got a tweet about it as well.
The website is...
But you feel free. You're listening to the Jules Serkin Show on channelradio.co.uk.
What made up the Kent Business Tweet Ups? 3ws.kent.com. businesstweetup.co.uk. I am making it up. You're quite right, Paul Andrews. You can read it later on.
Thank you. I want to mention this. On July the 11th, 17 riders will be attempting to join the likes of Bradley Wiggins and, like, well, that's perhaps something of an overstatement, but considering they're a bunch of overweight and unfit office workers, it's probably just as Herculean an effort. They'll be embarking on a 300-mile cycle ride from Tours in the centre of France. For anyone who can't picture that, the distance from London to Brighton is just over 50 miles.
Blimey.
All this in aid of a charity called Right to Play, who use a rather clever model of using sport to bring together disparate communities from around Africa, staging events and competitions. These gatherings then provide a unique opportunity to provide vital education and supplies to those groups. It's a simple idea, but it's very, very effective. The group is very close to its fundraising target, and if you might be able to spare a couple of quid, then honestly, anything would be appreciated, as the ride starts very soon on July the 11th. So if you haven't done your good deed for the day, please do head over to uk.virginmoneygiving.com/fundraiser. Paul Sims, S-I-M-M-S. Now, there's a long link for that, so I've put the link on the Kent Business Radio website.
But read it out anyway, just to annoy me.
Well, it's a very long link, but it's uk.virginmoneygiving.com/fundraiser-web/fundraiser/show-fundraiser-profile-page.action-user=Paul Sims.
You
didn't want to hear all of that,
did you?
So basically, you've just got to go to ukvirginmoneygiving.com, Paul Sims, or even better still, go to the Kent Business Radio website, show number 129, which is today, and click on the link.
It's a lovely orange website.
And donate a pound or two, because they are literally within pounds of their target. So please do support that. And Paul runs a company called Eye for Farmer. And Eye for Farmer stage trade shows, over 200 trade shows they stage around the world. And they are also a business publishing site. And we're going to be doing some more details on Eye for Farmer on a later show. But for the moment, I don't want to distract from supporting Paul and this amazing Herculean 300-mile cycle ride that they're doing.
Are you going to go on it?
I'm not going to go on the cycle ride. I have donated some money. You're going to donate some money, and everybody else is going to donate a little bit of money to this, because I've decided. So that's what we're going to do.
But you're not going to go on the cycle ride?
I'm not going to go on the cycle ride, no.
Are you chicken?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can put me in the oven.
Yeah, and burn you.
Yeah, so do support them, and the link is on the Kent Business Radio website. We've had loads more tweets. But do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage. Now, what are we playing?
Tunage.
Something
like... Do you know what I'm going to play?
Well, is it something rocky, knowing you? Joan Jett.
Bit of tub thumping.
Ooh.
I get knocked down.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back to Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the delectable Jill Serkin. That was Chawumba Wumba with Tub Thumping. And what we're going to do now, we're going to play some recorded interviews that Jules did at the B2B Kent event at the Ashford International Hotel 2 weeks ago. We did a live outside broadcast from there, and Jules managed to get hold of a few business people and interview them.
And I was chasing Gerard.
And she,
Gerald. You see, I'm going to just do it now.
Give up.
Mr. Ratner.
Exactly. Why didn't you start doing that?
Ratner.
Yeah, Jules managed to blag Mr. Ratner and get half a dozen photographs taken. But in between that, she talked to some local business people too. So it's our pleasure to let you listen to these. Do bear with the quality of the outside broadcast here because it was a busy event. But have a listen to this.
And with me now is John Ward, who is the MD of Restoration and Protection Limited Company. He is a proud winner of one of Dan Oratek's free stands at the B2B exhibition. So we're just going to hear from John. First of all, what does the getting this stand mean to you, John?
It means a lot because it means we can promote our business in the Kent area where we're based in Maidstone. But also, apart from just Kent, we're also looking to work throughout the UK and even worldwide. We do export our products at the moment, but always looking for new openings, new markets.
And just tell us a little bit about your product. So the company is called
Restoration and Protection Limited, and we provide a range of protective products that go on a wide range of surfaces and substrates, from masonry, brick, stone, through to wood, fiberglass, metal, plastics, etc. And it either protects them from outside elements and can restore them as well. So once we've done some pre-preparation work, i.e. cleaning or some remedial work, we can then protect the surface for long term. All of our products have longevity from anywhere from 3 years to 15 years, depending on the product, depending on the surface.
And have you worked with any heritage buildings or?
English heritage, not as yet, although we have test patched some surfaces that are English heritage managed, as it were. We've done some work with a company that in Scotland that specialises in Scottish heritage work, and they have bought our products, used our products on Scottish heritage buildings, and are very pleased with them. So we're using that as a launch pad, if you like, to take us into English heritage.
Well done. And where's the company based?
It's based in Maidstone in Kent. We have two premises there. We have some offices in Teeston Barham Court. We have some more offices and a warehouse unit in the centre of town. We're presently looking for new premises. We have looked at some new premises, but we will still be based in the Maidstone area.
How many square yards or feet or metres are you looking for?
Probably 3,500 square footage, because we need, with hopefully mezzanine upstairs, because we need a bank of offices with some warehousing downstairs. So
I do like a mezzanine, don't you? And does this work for ladies' skin? Because your skin looks fabulous. UV protection?
My skin doesn't have UV protection, but thank you anyway. Our products have UV protection. It isn't broken down by sunlight, and it isn't broken down by salt water or salty air, and it will present, it will prevent alkalis, mosses from getting a grip and forming on the surface, and it will effectively self-clean on the stone and the glass, etc. So
things just wash off it almost, they can't stick to it.
Yeah, because if you take the stone or the brick product, for instance, it will ingress within the substrate up to about 10 mil, depending on the substrate components themselves. But therefore, it's not just sitting on the surface. But what it does, it actually prevents the ingress of dirt and environmentally unfriendly dirt, fouling, pollution from getting it within the substrate and starting to do some damage and make it look bad. So it actually makes it look very good, and it can just be washed away with water.
And could you give us a shout for your website, Lars?
Yes, it's www.restorationandprotection.com.
Thank you, John Ward at the B2B. I'm here with Josh Cohn from Hutton Design. They're based in Canterbury, and along with Bill Hutton, Josh and Bill beaver away designing websites. So, Josh, how are you finding the B2B exhibition? Have you just arrived, or?
Well, we've met some great people already, some great companies here, and for local business, this is the be-all and end-all, as far as I can tell. You know, we're really looking forward, maybe next year, to doing a stand ourselves.
And is Bill still beavering away in the office?
No, Bill's been allowed out today. I've personally given him, my boss, I've given him permission, and he's probably met everyone already. I've been talking to the lovely Paul Babra and his wife, so we've spent a wonderful half hour, but I'm sure he's already got all the business cards that he needs, yeah.
So you're doing all the hard work by tasting the chutneys with Paul Fabra.
they look absolutely fantastic, and the curry is out of this world.
Highly recommended. Yeah. And what are you in the middle of at Hutton Design? Any nice projects?
Yeah, we've got a website for a very prominent local individual going on underway. She is probably, again, the be-all and end-all, I'd say, in terms of public relations, in terms of bringing branding of individuals and reputations to the fore. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Does she like custard?
She's affiliated with a custard brand. Well, we've been a bit cryptic now, I think. Yeah, but we're working on a few sites and some long-term customers as well. So we're always busy, but always looking for new custom, of course.
And what would you say you specialise in? What's your forte?
Well, historically, it's always been travel and tourism and events. And, you know, we've worked with some of the biggest brands in Britain for that. You know, National Trust, Funway Holidays, Thompson Holidays. So, that you know, they're really big brands, long-term clients. And we can achieve the same for small to medium companies, you know. So that's what we're really looking at.
I'm so pleased I'm having my website designed by the right people.
Well, you know, it's definitely getting there, and we're really happy with how it looks at the moment, and we can't wait to launch, you know.
Great. Big launch.
To work with.
Big launch coming next week, folks. Thank you, Josh. No, Co.
Pleasure, my pleasure.
Hutton Design. Give us a shout for your website.
www.huttondesign, all one word, .com.
That's HUTTON design.com, based in Canterbury. Go and see them. Well recommended. And I'm just going to stroll over and talk to the HSBC, who are here at stand number 99. So, Jake Powis, how are you finding the exhibition today?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been here this morning, and I've just come back. But yeah, there's lots of businesses. We're here today, actually, with Kent International Business to sort of promote Kent businesses doing sort of overseas trade, looking at different markets to try and expand their, you know, their businesses outside of the UK. So we've got a bunch of partners, whether it's Kent University, Christchurch University, UKTI, Kent County Council. And yeah, we're all here today just to sort of give a bit of advice and support to any businesses that are looking to take that step to sell overseas.
Well, I know I just spoke to Paul Babra from his curry, and he said that you're going to be helping, and your colleague might know about that. Yeah, what's your name? Sorry.
Shirley Smith.
Shirley Smith, and have you been here all day?
No, I came at lunchtime to cover the lunch hours while the launch was on.
Okay. So, and what have you found today here, are you helping people?
It's been quite busy, because I've been running around to the marquee and back and getting everything set up for the launch.
Brilliant.
But I think hopefully everybody's gone into the launch.
And where is your, you know, your HSBC, but today you're here for Kent International Business, are you?
HSBC are one of the product partners, so we look at supporting businesses with, you know, finance and things, but then you've got other guys, Seven Seas Trade, who do overseas missions to different markets. That's just a different element of the support that we're looking to give to Kent businesses. So yeah, we have an international banking team in Ashford, actually, just around the corner, so that's where we're from.
Well, it sounds like you're really helping the Kent businesses, so thank you, guys.
And so I'm here with Tony Locke, who's from HRGO Recruitment Limited. Do you say HRGO or do you go HRGO?
We normally go HRGO.
How efficient.
HRGO is a bit of a mouthful, especially HRGO is even worse.
I only came to interview you, Tony, because I have drunk so much of your Bucks Fizz from Stand 98.
Well, I'm glad you called it Bucks Fizz and something not otherwise dissimilar.
They're trying to get me in trouble. How has the show been for you?
It's been an amazing day today. Been 7 o'clock start, but it's been well worth it. I haven't stopped talking since I got here, as you can probably tell from the tone of my voice. Met loads and loads of new people, loads of people that we've always been associated through all the different networking sites as well. So it's been a brilliant day.
And did you come last year?
Yeah.
You were on the same stand as us.
We came last year and the year before. I think we've done this exhibition for the last 6 years.
So for you, it's working.
For us, it's quite unquantifiable. We never really understand how much business we take from a show like this, but certainly it's a brand awareness exercise. We get our name about. People do come to us, and we're like in the back of most of these shows. We're doing a special offer this year. It's our 55th birthday. Come to Stand 98, we've got a wonderful cake that's almost half gone, some Bucks Fizz that Jules has drunk most of, so it must be quite nice. And we're doing a special offer of 20% off your first invoice if you place a vacancy with us. In August, we're also supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and in line with our birthday, we're releasing 5,000 balloons, and that's on the 22nd of August. Tickets are £2 each. Check us out on our website, and there'll be broadcasts going out in terms of more information on that nearer the time. But 5,000 balloons, it's a massive, massive exercise for us.
You'll have to come on the Business Bunker and tell us in person nearer the time. And we'll play 99 Red Balloons. It was an old song in the 80s.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work out, 5,000 Red Balloons, does it?
But
yeah.
That's the only balloon song I can think of, Tony. From Tony at HRGO Recruitment, passionate about people. They were on Stand 98. And I'm here at the exhibition, the B2B, with David Shaw from the 404 team. Sadly, Mauro is not here today. I have been looking for him, but no sign. So, David, how have you found the show?
I found it interesting so far, yes. It's been an interesting day. Lots of busy people and lots of good conversations.
And also with him, we have Chris from Connectit. So are you two hobnobbing around together today?
We are hobnobbing because we came down here to have a meeting, and because we've got a seminar on the 16th of July called Evolve or Become Obsolete. So we've just been discussing it, and we've also met a wonderful company called The Wellbeing Company, because there's a crossover with what we're doing about people's perception of where and how they work. And this came from David. This was originally David's idea, and then we sat and discussed it, how Connectit and the 404 team could collaborate. And then we brought in a third party, which is the legal side, because there's a health and safety responsibility to employers. There's an HR responsibility, and that's Ali Young, legal stuff.
And you were saying earlier that you listened to the George Ratner speech, which I couldn't listen to because I was on Stand 97, manning it with young Jamie Andrews here. But how was the speech?
He made crap hilarious. It was absolutely superb, a real tonic at 9:30 in the morning. Wonderful, such a humble man who'd learned by his words, he'd learned by his mistakes. And it's not very often that you can lose $1 billion and then come back. And I believe his current company now is turning over something like $35 million a year, which is Gerald Online. But yes, an absolute tonic, wonderful Jewish humour, which we've just been discussing. Fantastic. Loved it.
And you heard him on the Business Bunker, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was excellent. Yes, I was listening. I know my wife in another country at the Josie Maguire. We were tweeting about that. Yes, again, just a very interesting man to listen to. And David had a very good point about entrepreneurs.
This is David.
Yes. No, remind me, Chris. What was my point about the entrepreneurs?
We were talking about the fact that a higher percentage of entrepreneurs who did not do very well at school because they didn't go down the normal route. Absolutely. They would look outside. They didn't want... What was it you called it? You had a particular phrase for it. Where someone is taking down a...
Yes, so they were, rather than going down the standardised route of education and actually become... educated, a formal education that was enabling them to become map readers, effectively. All the education system was allowing them to do was to follow instruction, which was very much Industrial Revolution. And now a lot of baby boomers and Gen Xers are still very much along that way. They've been standardized in education. But those in people that were not so much in a formal education, whether due to be a learning disability or anything like that, really decided to think out of the box. And we were discussing, we thought Gerald might have been one of those people that, because they weren't necessarily formally educated, they really think outside of the box and they don't really see the same sort of negative things that most other people do. And so he was a real example as to how entrepreneurs really do think outside of the box and learn to work and think differently.
Excellent. So that's Chris and David. Give us a shout out for the website.
So it's www.404team.com.
And we are www.connect-it.co.
Tune in to those, tap on to those at the B2B. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how he found the show and about his business. So, Tom, tell us, first of all, you're called Wellbeing People.
Yeah, we're Wellbeing People, and what we do is we go into to businesses and offices and workplaces, and we try and provide staff with the ability to look after themselves. We promote healthy living, healthy lifestyles. We create ways that bosses and can make their staff feel valued. We've got our fruit boxes so they can have a banana instead of a chocolate bar. We've got employee support programs, which is a new product for us, which is it's just about giving back to the staff. And we're in an age of austerity. There's been pay cuts, there's been redundancies, staff have taken on bigger job roles. So if there's any pressures or anything at work or even outside the workplace, we've given them, this program allows them to call people, to have counselling if need be, just so they can be more productive at the workplace, so they can feel better about themselves, feel better at work, and of course, and they're more productive at the workplace. They get more done, and essentially, the companies can make more money.
So, I mean, I've certainly tasted your fruit, which was lovely, and it's all sourced locally. Young lady said at the thing, so you can get a free box delivered to your office from just £20. A typical box will have bananas, green apples, red apples, oranges, plums, pears, kiwis and grapes. So that's a real change for life. Can you give us a shout for your website?
It's wellbeingpeople.com, and you can access all of our fruit. We provide water coolers for the workplace as well. As I said, the fruit's a great product. You can select what fruit you prefer, if you prefer the oranges or the grapes. It's seasonal, so we try and adapt it to what the customer wants. But of course, you know, if we keep it in season, so what's growing is growing, and keep it as fresh as possible.
So are you going out to advise businesses, or you know what happens?
Well, it's not. We aim to advise, but. Our wellbeing directory is supposed to be fully comprehensive. So if you've got a problem, if you've got a need, or is anything that should be wellbeing orientated in the business, you should be able to look in our directory. We can send one out to you. You go on wellbeingpeople.com, make an inquiry, or call us, and we can send out a fully comprehensive directory. All of your wellbeing needs should be in there. You should be able to cope with them. And we can send out some fruit. As we say, we've got the fruit. We've got so many products in there that are great for companies. And, you should be able to give us a call. Or have a look in one of our directories if you can.
That's brilliant, Tom. So you've heard from Tom Curtin from the Wellbeing People. And give us another shout to the Business Bunker stand. It's John Adams. And he is the MD of Careers, Recruitment and Coaching and HR. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how he's finding the show.
Hi there. Yeah, the show's been fantastic so far. Quite a lot of companies under one roof, which is excellent, really, because to try and network with companies across Kent can be difficult. It's been good. Yeah.
Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am. Probably not as active as I should be.
What do you know your Twitter handle?
Offhand, no.
We'll track you down. And your website?
Yeah, it's careers, C-A-R-E-E-R-Z.co.uk.
So if you need to have some advice on recruitment, coaching or HR, John Adams is the man to go to. And where are you based, John?
Based in Canterbury in the Old Brewery Business Centre.
We'll pop along and see you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm here with Paul Babra at the B2B exhibition. And Paul, what are you launching as a little secret snippet here from Paul Babra?
Jules, what can I hide from you?
But I like to know.
Well, of course you like to know everything what I do. But this time, our logo, what we're doing in the range of chutneys, hot sauces and marinades, we call Spice Up Your Life.
Where are you launching them, young man?
We have started producing these from a very basic production from our home at the moment. But talking to HSBC, they are introducing the new range of the networking. Hopefully, they will take us to France and want to market our product worldwide. So that is quite a big backup what I just heard talking to the HSBC people now.
Well done. And I'm going, congratulations. We wish you lots of luck. If you ever need a taster, come to Scoff and Quaff. You must know that show. It's a slightly better show than Business Bunker.
My apologies, Jules. I often said that I will appear, but this time I will appear with all my hot range of curries, chutney, sauces and so on. And we will come and appear at your show to spice up your life and your staff and everyone.
And what's your website?
It's paulbabra.co.uk.
paulbabra.co.uk. That's Paul Babra signing out.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show.
Oh, that's taken me back. That.
Tuesday the 25th, yeah.
B2B.
So there were a series of interviews that Jules did live at the B2B show at the Ashford International Hotel.
With the help of some Bucks Fizz from the stand next door.
Absolutely. I understand you drunk them dry.
I had a couple.
Yeah, I did hear. Anyway, look, thank you for that. It was fascinating to hear all those people at that show. But it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome to the Business Bunker our first studio guest, Mr. Martin Fever of the Mind Body Connection. Martin, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Thanks very much, Paul, and thanks very much, Jules, for inviting me along today.
It's an absolute pleasure. I think probably the easiest thing is if you tell the listener a bit about you and what you do. That's far better than me trying to introduce it and getting it wrong.
Whoa, that's a tall order. Okay, Paul. Well, what actually happened was I met Paul a little while ago and he came, I went along to see his company down at Fruitworks in Canterbury and we had a chat and he said, well, you sound like someone I'd like to invite along onto the radio. Tell you about the mind-body connection. Let me tell you about myself first and why I do what I do. I'm absolutely passionate about being a confidence coach. And as soon as I say the word confidence coach, people go, well, I'm confident and I'm fine and that's great.
Me.
Yeah, very tight. I've met you, Paul, all right? And what actually that means is that I work with people that have a problem that they want to solve in their lives. And my whole philosophy and the reason that you and I got talking, Paul, remember, was about that I believe that many businesses suffer because the owners themselves get lost in their business.
Absolutely.
And they forget about why they started the business in the first place.
Absolutely.
And the pecking order is really what changes, is instead of putting themselves first, they actually start to put other people first and they put their business first. So in other words, they get lost in their business and as a result, they can actually find business is more of a struggle, they've lost the drive, the enthusiasm, the motivation for it as well.
You mean like they end up working 18-hour days every day, 7 days a week, that kind of thing?
Yeah, are you pointing a finger at you?
Yeah.
Sounds very familiar, Paul Andrews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that actually happens is that by looking after yourselves and getting your mindset sorted out, getting your body sorted out, and we don't really go down the pathway of being physically Wonder Woman and Wonder Man and all this sort of thing.
You couldn't be Wonder Woman, could you, Paul?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful.
No. By actually sorting yourselves out, your business starts to grow and flourish as a result. So you thrive, really.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I've really worked with. And I came across this by accident because I was working with some people that were self-employed and they realized that they came to see me because they were struggling. There was one guy that had a heart attack, another guy that was suffering with depression. and we started to work with together. Mm. And as a result of working together, they suddenly found their businesses were improving as well. So they hadn't come to me for their business specifically, and it was a side effect, if you like, of what we were doing.
Right.
And as a result of that, by taking care of themselves, their business thrived. And that's really was the sort of opening. Why I got in touch with yourself was to say, this is something I really want to work with more businessmen who women who are actually struggling with their business and are finding that they're struggling personally as well. I'm not a business coach. That's very important. I'm someone that's going to come along and help you get your priorities back on track, if you like. So that's where I'm coming from. And I work very much with people, as I say, that have struggled for in some area of their lives. Now, it can be relationships, making money, all of these types of things. The main thing here that I want to get across is that the first thing you have to do when you're going to work with someone like me is be willing to change.
Right.
Because if you can't, if you're not willing to change, then really I'd rather you didn't come and see me, because that change, that willingness, is the opening of the door.
Absolutely, you've got to want to.
Yeah, you've got to want to do that. Yeah. And that's where my passion comes from, is because once you're willing, once you realise that it's too much of a struggle, once you realise that you're not seeing the wife and children, once you realise that you're actually not booking any holidays, and indeed you're maybe letting your partners and friends go on holiday and you're not involved with it, once those costs start to become too much for you, then that's when you actually decide, okay, maybe I need some help on this. And there's lots of help available.
Yeah.
And I talk, as you know, because we had this great event. I tell you, it was amazing. I met some very passionate people last week at the Create event at Fruitworks in Canterbury. And I was talking there about the importance of nutrition and about there's five elements, if you like, in my business: mindset, nutrition, environmental support, which is incredibly lacking in most businesses anyway. And then we're going to talk about, I've forgotten them, haven't I? There was five, and I've got three. That's not very good, is it? I'll come back to it.
Can we give you a clue?
Give me a clue. All right. Well, well, if we go to mindset, physical activity, nutrition, and environmental benefits, that's four to be starting off with anyway. Yeah. And by looking at those elements in your life and deciding where you are with those, all of those elements contribute to changing yourself and moving yourself into a different place, if you like.
Yeah.
And I think the reason, what I tend to say to clients is that, and I believe this with my heart, that every client, every person is an expert on themselves.
Right.
My role isn't to come along and go, do this, do that, do this, and change your life, because you're the expert. You know what it was like when you were five. You know what it was like in one of those interviews to go to a school and not fit in, if you like, when we're talking about a formal education. Mm. You know what those things are like, and you always, always have the best solution. We may not be willing to start off with to open ourselves up to that, but once you are, you do know that you're an expert on your life because you've got to where you are, and every choice and decision you've made to this point has got you to where you are.
Sure.
And that's where the mind-body connection comes in. And I do offer with people an approach whereby they come to me and tell me, but bizarrely, I'm talking on the radio for loads and loads of time, obviously, but one of the things is that my clients talk to me, and once they talk to me, I start to reflect back to them what's going on in their lives, and that reflective process starts the ball rolling, if you like.
It's interesting what you said, Martin, and I totally agree. Most of us do know what the issues are in our life. We just don't want to face it most of the time, you know, or we don't want to address it, or we don't want to think about it. And we know what we need to start focusing on and what we need to start doing. We just need someone like you to act as a catalyst to bounce that off of.
And it's amazing how expert we are at avoiding the issues. It's amazing how expert we are at sabotaging, because we use different props to do it. We use things such as alcohol, we use drugs, we use overeating, we use doing the ironing instead of it's doing the ironing instead of actually getting on with doing that contract. It's finding that the afternoon watching TV is more important than actually getting on with the website that you really have promised yourself you'd have finished by the end of this week.
Yeah.
All of those types of things. We procrastinate to the nth degree. We become perfectionists. And these are all delaying tactics that we develop because basically there's two reasons we do anything in life. Number one is we're moving away from fear or we're moving to pleasure. Right. And most people on the planet are actually moving away from fear. Mm. So fear is one of the things we are worried about all of the time. And one of the shortfalls is that is if you're moving away from fear, you can only have one result. Any ideas?
Pleasure.
No.
You've got to go to pleasure, though. It's the human instinct.
You've got to go to pleasure. The only thing you get if you're living your life from a place of fear is relief. That you haven't actually been caught, that right. you haven't actually right. suffered and struggled. It's when you move towards pleasure, you can have bliss, you can have pleasure, you can have joy.
Bliss is furniture polish, isn't it? That's all right.
I wouldn't know.
And by the way, I don't do ironing.
No, I made that bit up.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point of this, is that when you're living your life with a fear-based structure...
Yeah.
Everything you do is based in fear.
Yep.
So actually, even when you sign a contract, it's not even signed in a degree of pleasure. It's actually, I can now pay the mortgage this month.
Yep.
Whoa, I'm not going to be struggling for food. That's the difference. Wherever you make, there's a great acronym which I love, which is how you do anything is how you do everything. So if your decision in the morning is based on, I must do this because I'm scared, every decision you're making in your life is based on that.
Okay, I can see that.
Yep.
Good stuff. We could talk about this for a long, long time.
We could.
And we have actually chatted about it quite a bit, but we're kind of short for time at the moment. So for the moment, Martin, thank you for joining us on The Business Funker. Give us a shout out for the Mind Body Connection website and your Twitter handle and stuff like that, so that people can follow up and find out more about what you do and what your philosophy is and what your teaching's about.
Well, fantastic. It's at Martin Fever. That's Martin, as you'd normally spell it, with an I, and Feaver.
That's your Twitter handle, Martin.
That's a Twitter
Fever.
Handle.
Yeah.
And the website is themindbodyconnection.co.uk, and it has to have themindbodyconnection.co.uk.
Brilliant. Martin, thank you so much for joining us on The Business Bunker. Stay with us for the remainder of the show and joining for us. But for the moment, Martin Fever, The Mind Body Connection, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Paul.
If you want to follow up more on Martin's work, you can, and you should, and you must. And there's a link on the Kent Business Radio website to Martin's website so that you can find out more about his work. And do follow him on Twitter and find out when he's doing workshops next and get along to them. But for the moment, Martin, thank you so much for that.
I wish I'd gone to Fruitworks now last
Thursday. I keep telling you.
Well, I was in Canterbury last Thursday, and I was going to phone you and say, look, I'm in Canterbury, but I've been in for sort of the whole afternoon, and then my dog was locked up. So what would Martin have said about that? I had to let my dog out.
Yeah. Dog-related excuses are not accepted.
Dog needed to be let out. Had been locked in for 4 hours. Not kind.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you should have got your dog doing the ironing. Anyway, enough of that.
And overeating and drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those.
She does like a bonio, I tell you.
I wonder what you were going to say then. We're fast running out of time, and we've got another studio guest that we really, really must talk to. I want you to do a couple of quick emails for us, and then we're going to come to our next studio guest.
The Band of the Royal Air Force, ATC Pipes and Drums, 2513 Squadronto, perform at the Open Air Classical Concert at Leeds Castle. And that's the 2513 Squadron, and they've previously performed at Buckingham Palace to commemorate the 150 years of the cadet service, and they've joined the prestigious line up this year of the Open Air Classical Concert at Leeds Castle, which is on Saturday the 13th of July. And in 2012, they actually played for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth at Balmoral to celebrate her Diamond Jubilee. So cracking band there. That's the 2513 Romney Marsh Squadron Air Training Corps. And now Dave Laws from there, he's the officer, said, we're excited to be performing this summer at Leeds Castle, a professional band, and we play to an extremely high standard. Ticket prices are £36 picnic style and £46 seated. The website is www.heritageevents.co.uk. There is a phone number, grab your pen, 08456 526 262, if you want to see that at Leeds Castle this summer on the 13th of July. Sorry, I normally circle the dates so I can go back to it at the end.
Brilliant. Rob from Go Vicinity just tweeted.
Hello, Rob.
He said, we were at Fruitworks, where were you? He didn't actually say that, I paraphrased.
Yeah, I've told you, because I had to go and let my dog out, and if I hadn't, then the RSPCA would have been on at me, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to come.
More excuses.
I very much wanted. I could have phoned my mum to do it, but it would have been, you know.
Well, somebody's giving me feedback on a phone somewhere. Well, okay.
Go on, after you.
I want to do a quick email,
and then
we're going to come to Denise, yeah?
Yes.
I've got an email here, Thunder Follows Writing by Miles Allen. Why become a business author now, and is so important, and how to do it well. So on the 26th of June, that's tomorrow.
Manana.
Yeah, at the Larkford Priory Hotel and Restaurant. There's a course being run by Miles. Miles is an author, but he's also teaching about writing, and there's lots of opportunities since Amazon changed the way that people publish their books, and you can now self-publish and provide ebooks and things like that. So there's a workshop, and the topics that are covered are the internet and how Amazon has changed everything forever, the difference between being an author and deciding what to write, how to plan your book, and then what are the key tips for success of your book, how to get it published, and how to get your books noticed. There's a question and answer session, and then there's some one-to-ones and networking, and there's tea and coffee included. And the venue is the Larkford Priory Hotel just outside Maidstone. That's at Aylesford. And you can follow all, you can find out all about this by going to Miles's website, which is thunderfollowswriting.eventbrite.co.uk. That's thunderfollowswriting.eventbrite.co.uk. Or you can email Miles for more information or any questions, miles@milesallen, that's ALLEN.net. miles@milesallen.net. And we've put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. So do follow up with that if you'd like to go to a writing workshop tomorrow at the Larkford Priory Hotel. And talking about writing, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker our next guest, businesswoman, entrepreneur and author, Denise Barnes. Denise, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Paul and Jules, for inviting me. I'm terribly excited to be here. And shall I kick off?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about your business experience, and then what led you into writing your books? Because you've written two books now, haven't you?
I have, yes. Yeah. Well, the first one is very, very different. It's
sure.
It wouldn't really go on to a business programme. But yes, I've really fell into a state agency. I'm sorry I'm lowering the tone by confessing that I'm an estate agent.
Yeah, we tried to find a lawyer and a recruitment consultant to make you feel better.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure. Yes, banks, I think, are below
us
now.
Oh, I'm bankers, yeah, yeah. No, we don't even mention
right.
those. Yeah.
We're okay. I blame my sister for everything.
Right.
She's 2 years older than I am. And she decided that because I love selling and I've had loads and hundreds of jobs in my life, literally, not all selling, but a lot of them were, she decided that I should settle down when I was 35, just a few years ago.
Yeah,
of course.
So recently.
and become an estate agent. Well, I didn't have a mortgage or anything like that, so it really wasn't top of what I would think I could do. I didn't really have much interest in property. But she said, oh, I think you'd be really good at it. So a few days later, she found an ad in the Courier.
Was she trying to get rid of you or something,
she
Denise?
Was. And she said, oh, I've just seen something and I think that's perfect for you. And she said, it's a secretary stroke trainee negotiator. In those days, they didn't have female negotiators, so this was quite something. And she had pushed me into doing a year's secretarial training when we lived in Atlanta, so I was. She felt that she had guided me into the right direction, that I was set up for, at least I could type and shorthand and all the rest of it.
So you lived in Atlanta?
Yes.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Sorry about that.
I always thought you were like Rhett Butler.
As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. Anyway, so I started off with, I didn't realise that this particular company was actually the best company for estate agency in Sevenoaks. And in those days, it's not there anymore. It's called Parsons, Welsh and Cowell. And so I got there, but I didn't realise that I was in a very, very chauvinistic environment, because they didn't want me to go out and do learn how to do valuations and take details. What they wanted was for me to do the shorthand and typing, sit in the office. Maybe I could perhaps try and get an offer increased. But that was about the limit.
We'll gloss over that.
They were not really interested in me becoming a fully fledged negotiator, but I used to force my way in, and I see the new negotiators with their coats on going out the door, and I'd fly off after them, and I'd go with them, and I just make my, you know, I just say, you've got to show me. Well, in the end, I had to threaten to take them to a tribunal, because there was a vacancy in our office, and I'd been there about a year. And they didn't ask me. And I knew that I was really, you know, becoming very good at my job, and I loved it. And I just sort of saw this stream of pimply-faced youths going by my desk and going up the stairs to be interviewed. And I thought, I'm not having this.
Good
so
for you.
Anyway,
well done.
So anyway, I've had to fight, you know, in this male kind of world, which
We still are, darling.
We do. Anyway, I thought, well, they offered it to me very reluctantly. And I said, what will my pay increase be? And they said, oh, it'll stay the same, £6,000 a year.
Much?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good.
For a girl.
It's good for a girl. You know, it's going to be still on a secretary's pay, even though I was now supposed to be an estate agent. So I thought, right, I will let them train me, because it was a good company, and then I will go somewhere where they didn't know that I could type. So then I went to Pembury, and I was a manager, it's in inverted commas, because all there was me and a part-time secretary. So, you know, here I was, a manager of this tiny little office, which I did in the end. We became three full-timers, and that was marvellous. And all the time I was trying to get them to expand, go next door, all sorts of things, and they mucked up all the plans that I had sort of offered them. And I thought, I'm going to open up my own estate agency, which was three doors along.
Oh.
And that didn't go down terribly well.
Throwing down a gauntlet there.
Yeah, I was. Actually, they were quite nice. They were quite nice to me.
Yeah, well, they probably think you didn't just weren't going to do anything.
Yeah, they did. They did, because I remember my boss saying, well, I hope you're mildly successful. And I said, if I'm mildly successful, I might as well just stay with you, you know. I said, I'm going to be very successful. And he said, yeah. So anyway, I opened up in 1988, which I didn't know was going to be a disastrous year. It was actually June 88. And I felt I was building up the business. I could see things were happening. People were coming in to see me. They said, we don't care whose name is above the door, but we want you, because they all knew me from being there. And then 3 years later, I opened up Horseman Den, and then it expanded, and I got to eight branches in the end. Yes, I was determined I was going to be the biggest female chain of estate agents. So that was really good. And then, of course, the years rolled by, and I really, really, my big passion is writing. And so I thought, well, really, I've done all this. I'm going to be reaching a horrible thing with an O on the end very 40. Soon. Thank you very much, Paul. I knew I was going to enjoy this program. So I decided to sell. And so I did all the right things. I got the business agent, I got the solicitor, everybody completely out of town so that they didn't find out, so that the staff didn't go hunting for jobs. And in the end, the publisher has very euphemistically, I think it's the biggest euphemism I've ever seen, described these two buyers as two charming gentlemen. Read in that what you will, but if you read the book, I think you'll put your own words. And so I really plunged into a 3-year nightmare with this pair. It was shocking. and I was ended up very bitter and twisted. I didn't get my money properly. I did get some money, but I didn't get it anywhere near what I should have done. And then when they went into liquidation, which I knew it would fold in the end, it couldn't help, but they were completely incompetent, and they had planned not to pay me, and the proof is in the book. If you read yours beyond page one, Paul.
Yeah, I was saying to Denise before we came on air, I actually bought the book on Sunday night, and I've only read the first page so far.
Well, well done for getting that far.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my sister, there she is again, she said, Den, you're going to have to write this. You're going to have to write a book about it, because, you know, it would help other people to not make the same really stupid mistakes that you made. And I sort of vaguely thought about it, and then every time I tried to do it, I thought, it's reliving this nightmare. So I've gone through the nightmare, and then I'm reliving it again by writing it down. So it took a while, took 2 or 3 years to really come to. But I did.
Did you find that cathartic eventually?
Yes, though? It was. Yeah. It was huge, because I really was very bitter and twisted, and I'm now just twisted.
No, you're not at all, but no, I understand.
But yeah. No, I would be talking to you before I'd written the book, I'd be getting furious, and I could feel myself. But now it's just, you know, I can have a bit of a laugh about it and everything. And so I got a publisher. I complete fluke, because it's the hardest thing in the world to get a book published. And my lovely publisher, who is a radio presenter,
he is indeed
you,
on LBC, isn't
Ian
he?
Ian Dale. Yeah, yeah. Here, Ian, there's a little plug for you if you're listening.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, yeah. He's an avid listener. He listens every week.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, and that's Bite Back Publishing, isn't it?
Bite Back Publishing. Yeah. And the weird thing is, he lives down the road from me. He's almost a neighbour. He's in my road that I live in. Okay. It's fantastic.
Where do you live?
In Pembury, in Romford Road in Pembury. And so there's Paul. I hope you don't mind.
Given old whole address there.
You have given your address over the over the waves, so I know that it's
well,
okay.
She's an ex-estate agent.
Is it a good location?
You're really lucky she didn't describe it as a double-fronted Georgian desirable residence. Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best road in Pembury, because estate agents always live in the best roads. And So I wrote the book because I felt I was helping people, but I bumped into Ian Hislop on the train one night.
Lives in Sissinghurst, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And it's the second time, actually, I've shared a table with Ian on a train. And I wanted to tell him about the book, because it hadn't been published, but I knew that Ian was going to publish it. And I was desperate, because I thought, private eye, you know, reviews, seller beware, Ian Dale will be pleased with me. And so I didn't know what to do, because he we've got a stack of newspapers, and I felt, poor bloke, he wants to get, you know, back to Victoria, the big, you know, novelist, and he doesn't want this mad woman talking to him. So I wrote him a note, and I surreptitiously pushed it across the table to him. He said, for me? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, well, he could have just ripped it up or put it in his inside pocket, but now I knew he'd read it. And I wrote to him and I said, dear Ian, you know, this is the second time I've shared a table with you on a train, and last time I told you that you were one of my most favourite men on the television, and I've written a book. And I told him 2 or 3 little sentences about the book, and I said, even if you can't do anything, and even if it doesn't go into private eye, you will still remain one of my most favourite men on the television. So he was reading, he was laughing and everything, and then he said, who's your publisher? So I said, Bite Back. And he said, oh, Ian Dale. I said, oh, you all know each other. And so we talked and talked for the rest of the journey, which was fantastic. And I said to him, I haven't written this book for revenge, you know. And he said, oh, yes, let's call it revenge. And his little eyes went all kind of twinkly and narrow. You know how they go. Anyway, the book is called Seller Beware. And it's how not to sell your business. I'm hoping that it will help people who are, apparently thousands and thousands of people every year sell their businesses.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also I have met, I mean, dozens of people now who have said, I sold my business to the wrong people. Mm. I was done out of money, blah, blah, blah. And you think, I can't believe this, because I used to think perhaps it's because I'm a woman, I was a bit of a pushover. But men, an editor, not Bite Back's editor, but another editor I gave it to, just to make sure it's professional before I tried to find a publisher. publisher, and he said, oh, Denise, it made uncomfortable reading. He said, this was, it happened to me. So I'm hoping it is going to help. And also, even if you're not an entrepreneur or a business owner, I'm hoping it will be a good human story of how you can, you know, plummet to rock bottom and bring yourself up. And we are now Barnes Kings North estate agents. I had to buy back the old business.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I was left with all the leases.
Oh, right, okay. So you're now back in business?
I'm back in business, but I have got a business partner this time, and who was one of my ex-employees.
Right.
And it's like a different world.
Sure.
There at one end, and Howard Kings North, hence Barnes Kings North, he's at the other, and it's just a joy to actually do it. But I don't have to go in every day, and I can now write my novels, which I was supposed to do, and not write a business book about how not.
Well, we're going to we'll have a mention of your novel in a moment and the novels. But you're absolutely right. As someone that has just bought some businesses, it is a fraught process for both sides. It's always a difficult thing buying and selling businesses, especially in this day and age when so many businesses are service businesses. And what you're buying is the talent and ability and goodwill generated by the entrepreneur or business person that generated the business. And that's a very difficult thing to replicate
What is very easy is that I built up such a marvellous reputation in 17 years and it was just gone in about 17 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what is so terrible.
Absolutely.
Well, I think what's great about your story, Denise, there is that you're actually, you've decided to write the book in the first place. That must have taken some guts to actually do that in the first place, you know, to go through something that was so traumatic for you.
Yeah.
And then to actually, how did you feel when you actually sat down for the first time to write?
I thought you swines. Did begin with B. Thought better not. It was horrible. I used to feel sick, and I thought, I don't think I can do this. But in the end, I thought, no, I think I've got to do it. It will help me. It will get it out of me. It will be cathartic to do, and it was. It got easier as I got going, but it was very hard. It was very bitty at first, and weeks and months would go, and my sister would ring up. She'd say, "What are you doing today?" And I'd say, "Writing." And she knew what she was going to say. What are you writing? Oh, I'm writing my novel. You want to get on with Seller Beware? That's the book you want to get on with. So I thought, oh God, I better get on with it. And so I did. In the end, it flowed, and it wasn't so long.
Because that's interesting, isn't it? Once you start a process, that first step, I always say to people, the first step has to be followed by a second step, because that's how we move forward in life. And it is a struggle initially, but well done for you for having the guts to actually face up to something that was obviously quite a traumatic time for you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And what does your sister do? I'm wondering.
Oh, she does up houses.
Right, so you're quite a good team.
We are quite a good team. She used to work for me for about 7 years, in that she was my lettings manager.
So sort of the curb appeal thing.
Yes, but so she does like actually doing up houses and selling on. She loves moving. She loves being in different places.
Oh, God, I moved 2.5 years ago. I've still got my cookery books in the loft in a box. Hate moving.
Well, I'm thinking of moving because Jules keeps bringing me houses
to
buy.
I found him a lovely house.
I'm sure you'll be local for us at Barnes Kings North in Pembrey and Dunbridge.
Found him a lovely house on the seafront.
Did you?
Lovely house on the seafront.
I'd love to live by the sea. I used to live in Hunstanton.
I'd be Jules' neighbour. I don't want that.
Oh, you see her too much at work.
Exactly.
She can cook chicken, though. We know.
Yes.
From previous conversations that Jules is a dead man chicken.
I am a very good cook, actually, if I just had more time.
We're almost at the end of the show. Before we let you go, although we want you to stay for the rest of the show that's on, Denise, I just want you to mention, because you have published another book.
Yes.
Which is, go on, tell us about it.
My other book is, I wrote this, it is another non-fiction. It's about my time I spent in 1972 as a vegetarian cook in Bavaria. Now, there aren't many Germans, especially Bavarians, that are vegetarian.
Yeah.
When you
No sausages.
They like a sausage.
When you came to the sanatorium, as it was called, you had to be without meat. Right. And my book is called From Bud to Wurst. And I have to dedicate that to my husband because the publisher said, you know, I was going to call it the Tales of Tannerhof because Tannerhof is the sanatorium where I was working, and they said, it's not really very German sounding, you know, people won't understand it. Can you just think of something a bit more German? So I said, oh, well, I'll try. God. So I went home and I said to Edward, who speaks a bit of German, he was in the Air Force out in Germany for a while, a long time ago, and I said, oh, Ted, they don't really like my title. They want something a bit kind of jokey and very German sounding. He said, oh, I don't know, from bad to worst. And I said, oh, that's perfect. And then the publisher said, we love it. So, yes.
That's brilliant. So that's,
and I still go back to Tannerhof every few years, and it's wonderful, and I'm still
welcome. It's still sausage free.
Still sausage free.
So, listeners, you can buy both of Denise's books. You can get them on Amazon and other good leading bookshops, and you can buy them as real books or as downloads.
Yes.
And that's Seller Beware and From Bad to Wurst. And I highly recommend them. For the moment, Denise, thank you so much for joining us on the Business
Bunker. Thank you.
It's been an absolute riot to have you on. It's been an absolute pleasure. We could talk to you forever
about this. You know I could.
And we're going to invite you back, and we're going to talk about this some more in a few weeks' time. But do stay with us for the last few minutes of the show.
Thank
you. For the moment, Denise Barnes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, give us a shout for your website, because you're still...
Oh, yes.
You're still,
well, it's a kind of a blog and web.
You're still knocking out houses.
It's a sort of a blog and web in one.
Yeah.
So I'm Denise Barnes, writer, .wordpress.com, and my Twitter is at Denise Barnes UK, and then Barnes Kings North is www. Oh, let me get this right. Oh, please God, let me get it right. www. Where's my? Oh God, oh God. Oh, Howard's going to be shouting at me. BKEstateAgents.co.uk. Please God, let that be right. I'm getting so in trouble.
We will put it on the website.
We'll check that. And put
yeah.
Thank
on
you.
The we'll put the correct one.
Thank you so much. But we're a good little team now. We're just Pembury and Tunbridge and. We're now in our sixth year of the new business. Can't believe it.
Brilliant. You need to autograph Paul's book, don't you? Because he's got his book. Have you got it in with
you? I didn't bring it in with me. So it's, no, hold on. See, you just did that to me.
What?
You just made me talk a load of nonsense.
Why?
You can't autograph my book. It's an electronic digital download.
You've got one of those.
You can sign my iPad if you want.
It's not the same, Paul.
It's not the same.
No.
Your book in your hand.
That's like you were saying about local papers. You were saying, oh, local papers are obsolete. But actually, I love to curl up with my local paper.
I'm a manic book reader. I'm an absolute manic book reader. I read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books.
Good.
And I'm actually a very quick reader, and I love physical books, and I have a library at home with bookshelves full of over 2,000 books. I've got loads and loads of books. And then 2 years ago I went to buy a book on Amazon, and I accidentally bought a download rather than a physical book.
Oh.
And because I bought it, I read it on the internet,
and
I've been hooked
right.
ever since. And because I'm really stupidly sad, what I do is I read a book and I think I want to read the next one. And the easiest thing, you can be laying in bed 2 o'clock in the morning.
People like you.
You can be laying in bed 2 o'clock in the morning, you finish your book, you download the next one and carry on reading.
Fabulous.
That's why you're tired.
And that, yeah.
Staying up all night reading.
Yeah. So there you go. Look, I've got a gazillion tweets.
Who's
We've got
tweeting?
Loads of emails.
Who's tweeting?
We've got Stopwatch Hospitality.
Well, they're new.
Yes. And they say, and they're talking about the British Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And they say we've sold almost 200
so glad you said it like that.
Hospitality tickets so far and have just 12 hospitality places left. They have given me a link, but it's a shortened link, so I can't read it. So I suggest what you do is you follow Stopwatch Suite, SUITE, on Twitter, and you can find out all about what they do for hospitality at motor racing.
And that's for the Grand Prix.
Yeah, Adrian at AK Pet Services, you know, the pet taxi service.
Hello, Adrian.
He says Samson the parrot is listening today and he's given a wolf whistle for Jules.
Oh, really? How avant-garde.
Yeah, and Cheryl Randeria is listening in, and she's great to hear all the businesses in Kent, and she does PR support in West Kent.
Fabulous.
This is a bit of an old one, but...
Lisa Settle is asking if you'll be wearing knickers and tights with your Super Pool uniform. Because
yes,
I said I'd get you a cloak.
Yes, of course. I always wear my pants outside my trousers.
Super Pool, you are now known as.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Chris Pollard about a one-eyed DJ in Dinchurch ranting on the radio. I think that must be you. I think that's me as a result of some photograph that Jules floated out onto the internet. We've had loads more tweets. I can't read them all.
Have Lenny said anything about strawberries and Pim's?
Yes, they have.
This Thursday, but they're doing it for a whole fortnight in their Terrazzo restaurant.
Yeah.
I can tell because I can read your tweets from here.
I know you can, and you also already read it out once as well.
Yeah, but it's a whole fortnight they're doing it for Wimbledon
fortnight.
I'm trying
to rush through this because we've only got 5 minutes left and we've got a pile of stuff
never
to read
out. Never knew you were Russian.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
Carry on.
Kathy Omani has tweeted, saying sorry she missed the show last week, but she's listening this week because we had an interview with Kathy last week.
She can listen again.
Yes, she can, and she has listened again. And Kathy runs a really interesting company called Deal Mediation Services, in which she's a divorce lawyer, and she mediates on divorce and stuff like that. It's really interesting and good and useful. And I think you can go, oh, we've had Barnes Kings North tweeting us.
Ah, so you must have got it right.
Yeah, never heard of them. Are they estate agents? Have they got any places in Pembroke? I'm thinking of moving.
Georgian, double-fronted.
Yeah, yeah.
The Evolve Will Become Obsolete is on Tuesday the 16th of July. That's at Kent Channel Chamber offices in Shearway Business Park, Folkestone, 9:30 to 1:00. You need to contact tracy.reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, at kentchannelchamber.co.uk, or go online, www.kentchannelchamber.co.uk.
Cool. Good stuff.
Come on. I thought we were racing through them.
I've got loads of things.
I flashed at you and you didn't answer.
Stop flashing.
Realia are on the move. 1st of July, Realia Marketing will be based in Hythe at the Old Auction Rooms, Marine Walk, Hythe. And that's www.realia.co. Must be .co something.
No, it's .co.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That always throws me.
Yeah, I know, but it's .co. It's
same as my email address. I've actually made it so small, so short. It's actually martin@tmbc.co.
And people always go, and?
And I go, and I have to even, actually it's longer to do that now on a text. I have to say, it's got no .uk on it.
And you wish you'd...
I wish, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I wish I had that. Yeah, and I've got a .co as well. Yeah,
have you?
Yeah,
lucky you.
.co's.
Wednesday 10th of July, you've got the historic Dockyard Chatham Manufacturing Engineering Expo. That's from 10 till 4. You've got the innovative demonstration areas showcasing the latest technologies, meet the buyers from large organisations, and also expert keynote speakers. There's a breakfast aboard the HMS Gannet. Suits you, Paul Andrews.
Suits you.
Suits you. 3Ws.manufacturingandengineeringexpo.co.uk. Can you not creak your microphone?
Sorry.
Okay, carry on.
I've got a fairly long one here, but I want to do this.
No need to boast.
Yeah. Dear Paul, I wanted to be... Paul. No, Jill, just Paul.
I know. I'm just an afterthought.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to be amongst the first to let you know that we conquered Mount Elgon.
Hey. Wow.
Yeah. It was the most physically challenging journey of my life. Through incredibly tough terrain, we spent 6 days on the mountain, climbing in some of the most demanding conditions through remote and beautiful parts of East Africa, camping with no running water or any of the creature comforts that we are all so accustomed to. This is what made it a challenge and one that I felt so privileged to be part of. With thanks to you for your generous support, I raised over £5,000
wow.
for Fields Fantastic. Of Life, which will make a huge difference to the life of so many families. So it was with heartfelt thanks that I write to you now with details of my incredible adventure. We set off as a team of 10 business leaders from Kent with the simple objective to raise as much money as possible for our cause. I don't think any of us expected the trek to be as tough as we faced. After 6 hours of climbing in the midday heat on the first day, we reached the wall of death. And at this stage, I'm thinking that we should be using ropes. I usually love that the health and safety elves haven't made it to these remote parts of Africa. So we made our drooling ascent and finally reached our first campsite, a small clearing in the rainforest. And yes, you've guessed it correctly, it started raining.
Wow.
As we were putting our tents up. And to be honest, it was a relief from the giant ants that were feasting on us prior to the rain arriving. On the next few days, we faced many similar challenges, sleepless nights, incredibly steep terrain, trekking between 7 and 9 hours a day, facing almost every weather condition known to man, from rain, mist, cloud cover, hailstones, to freezing temperatures. And then we descended the hot African sun returned. While trekking through one of the world's largest calderas, I recently receiving the marketing material regarding this trip, not for the faint-hearted. And as a marketer, I hadn't actually given this statement the consideration it was due. It really couldn't have been a more accurate description. For me, mountain sickness struck at about 12,000 feet, making every step that little bit harder. But the sense of achievement upon reaching the summit at 4,321 metres, and it was all worthwhile. I was exhausted, emotional, and elated. And as a final thank you, I'd like to note Jim Young from Adventurous U, who created the Bespoke Trip. His skills and experience made our group of mountaineering novices seem almost professional. Nash Ganesh, our African adventurer, who warmed us up each day for the climb and whose local knowledge was invaluable. And last but no means least, we couldn't have made it without the help of the incredible guides and porters, four armed National Park Rangers, 15 porters and two very talented cooks. So as a team, we raised a staggering amount of money for Fields of Life, and together we will help to promote the outstanding natural beauty of Mount Elgon National Park. And that's from Debbie Cameron.
Well done, fantastic. Debbie and team.
Yeah.
What an achievement.
What a fantastic event. Dave Philpott was with them as well.
I've seen Bruce Bell's pictures of that. Amazing pictures. I mean, how they survived in some of those conditions. I couldn't believe it. It's incredible. Incredible achievement.
So Debbie, who's the branch manager of the Kent IOD, Dave Philpott, who is chairman of the Wiltshire Air Ambulance and formerly Kent and Surrey Air Ambulance, and Bruce Bell, and all the others that made that fantastic trip. Well done to all of you. It's an absolutely brilliant effort.
Yeah, well done.
Fantastic.
And they took a Business Bunker t-shirt up there.
They did indeed.
Up to the top.
Yes. Dave Philpott has worn a Business Bunker t-shirt in Uganda on a few occasions now. Bless him.
I do like a terrain. Oh, was it terrain? Sorry.
Terrain, yeah.
How long have we got? Okay, residents in a care home in Kent enjoy their very own pub thanks to students at the local uni. Bridgehaven Care Centre near Canterbury in Kent played host to three occupational therapy students earlier in the year on a 10-week placement as part of their degree course. And the students have been involved in opening a bar at the home for residents to enjoy. The bar is complete with pub fittings and pub-related items sourced from local charity shops, and staff at the home and friends and relatives of residents. And the students, Charlotte Matey, Hayley Pryor and Justin Norris, created the pub to allow the men folk in the home somewhere to relax, chat and talk over old times. What a great idea, because of course women in a care home, they've got hairdressers, nails and all that, but for the chaps. So what Sue Hyper, the home manager, has said, there's no alcohol, of course, just soft drinks, tea and coffee, but we've created a pub atmosphere which we feel really does help give residents a relaxing place to get to know each other better and talk. Well done, guys. Great idea there from the uni students of Canterbury.
Absolutely. Just to show the power of the Business Bunker show as well, we've already had some estate agency related business.
Good.
Yeah, because Ashford Palmer's Market, that'll be Steve Wood, won't
that's
it?
That's Stevie Wood,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you can buy my house if you want. I live in Pembroke. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, why not? I'll send you the money in a minute.
Yeah, because he just needs a market stall, really, in a little tent. He goes from market to market.
He doesn't need a house, does he?
No.
It's just an umbrella and a trestle.
Definitely needs an umbrella this year.
Yeah, for sure.
And probably a wind thing, you know. A windshield.
Windbreak.
That's what I wanted. Thank you.
28th. I know you struggle with windshields.
Yes, I do. Friday, 28th of June at the Great Danes Conference Centre. I'm just going to ignore you. The no Channel change, Chamber ESF Get Stronger Together event. This is new EU funds are likely to have a profound impact on the national lottery. So this will be included in the agenda. Please book your place. Call Alex on 01303 813 790. That's the ESF Stronger Together event at the Great Danes in Maidstone on the 28th. That's this Friday. Be there or be square.
Cool. Good stuff.
Another
one? There. No, well, I've got one.
Go on then.
I've got an update from the world's most expensive link.
Alan, no, it was Alan his birthday this week. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Alan. I didn't know that.
And it's also Miriam Mater.
Miriam.
No, but I think it's Miriam's as well, and she's got a sore throat. But I think it's hers as well today or tomorrow.
Okay, they're listening in. I got a tweet from Miriam earlier. They're listening in Turkey.
They just want you to sing happy birthday again.
Again, yeah. Well, I sang it last week. Hi, Paul. Here is your quick monthly update about what's been happening in the world's most expensive link. Two participants topping up their entries and two new participants over last month. Guess who's number one slot still?
Oh, not again.
Yeah, Anthony Gray Clocks.
He's been up there forever.
They've been actually up there 1,293 days. And to gain the top spot now, you must put in a total of £571. But you can start off with a link for as little as a pound. In the new participants are networkcomputing.co.uk. That's network-computing.co.uk. They're in 91st place. And Model Block, that's model, BLOK.co.uk. They are in 115th place. They're two new participants to the world's most expensive link. And some recent top-ups, you never heard of this bloke, will be hoodnershorse.co.uk.
Andy Setterfield.
Andy Setterfield at the Hoodner's Horse has topped up and got himself into a very respectable 8th place. And in 67th place is Brick Block, BRICBLOK.co.uk, which is a web store dedicated to extending the enduring appeal of the plastic brick and block construction system made famous by Lego.
Yes, I was just thinking Lego.
So, a massive thanks to all 215 participants in the world's most expensive link who have so far raised for their charities £1,223.51. And the world's most expensive link began way back in 2006, and so far we paid out £2,296.29 in commission to the participants involved. If you want to find out how it works, the easiest thing is to go to their website, which is theworldsmostexpensivelink.com, and check it out.
I think it's that penguin that does most of the work.
Shackleton.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can do one more email very, very quickly.
Okay, the 2nd of July, which is next Tuesday, I think. It's 7:30 to 9:30. It's the Chamber Networking Breakfast, Ramsgate Week. The venue is Royal Temple Yacht Club. You can book on www.kentchannelchamber.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Jules. We're at the end of the show. It just leaves me to say a massive, massive thank you to our guests, Mr. Martin Fever of the Mind Body Connection.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us, Martin. An absolute delight to welcome Denise Barnes, entrepreneur, businesswoman and author, partner in Kings North Barnes, the estate agents.
We won the best agent out of everybody, corporates and independents, voted by the public, 65 agents in our area. We won top. Well-